So how much, and so I know the answer to this, but if you can share how much, what percentage is copper in your portfolio as of right now?
As of today, it's approximately 50% by estimated net asset value. And I think as we go forward a few more years, and as we see sort of prices catch up to where they are on the screen for where some of the forecasts are, and that's happening very quickly, you'd expect to see that copper exposure grow. We started this business almost 100% coal when I joined this company in 2014. We were almost 100% coal at the time, and so we've taken it today to approximately 50% copper, call it 80% critical minerals, and in 5 years from now we should be almost 100% critical minerals.
How much cash flow you have per employee? Do you have an updated number, or can you just share that again with you? I mean, it's really impressive. I want you to say that again.
Yeah, so we can just update this on full year in 2025. So what I last would have quoted it to you would have been based on 2024 numbers. So, not a huge change, just 5 to 6 million per employee, right?
That just makes me laugh. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very asset-light business and very scalable. The beauty of the royalty model in many ways in today's world is that it's just more expensive to build a mine, right? So if you had a study done 5 years ago, copper price has gone up, yes, but so have the costs of building that mine. So, you'll probably see an uplift to your economics, assuming, of course, that the increase in operating costs and capital costs is now outweighed by the increase in price. With the royalty and streaming company, you don't have direct exposure to that sort of cost drag, if you will, and you just benefit from top line growth. So, for someone who's looking for top line commodity exposure for a variety of thematics, I think Ecora is really uniquely positioned towards critical minerals thematics by virtue of our strategy of focusing on critical minerals. It's a unique way to play it.
Mark Bishop LaFleche, Ecora Royalties. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Very well, Andy, very well.
Yeah, well, really good to see you. To all my viewers and listeners, I'm an investor in Ecora Royalties, and Ecora Royalties is also a sponsor to Natural Resource Stocks.net. Mark, you just guys had a great quarter, and we alluded, well, the last time we spoke, you're coming into this, and you're going to release the results. Let's talk about that, and yeah, start there.
Well, it was the only way to put it is a great way to start the year. We've had good share price momentum and really great trading update. I think when you look back on 2025 as a year, it's hard to characterize it as anything other than a landmark year for this business. We saw portfolio contribution from critical minerals at 65% of our portfolio and base metals at 50% of that. And we saw within that 50% contribution from base metals, a 150% increase year on year from 2024.
That's
So all in
excellent.
all, yeah, we're seeing some great momentum from the critical minerals assets. And we knew this was coming. I think we've spent a lot of time speaking, Andy, about how we had this expectation it was coming. It's wonderful to be delivering it. And furthermore, we're very excited about what's next in 2026.
Yeah, no, it is exciting. And I go back to just this idea, and again, evaluation of royalty companies to all my viewers and listeners, how royalties, and I think I've used the word layered in the past, how they just come in in layers, really. And that's really what happened. And that's what's really exciting. But let's talk now again about, well, just get a little more granular. Can you share exactly what the earnings were? And then let's talk about, walk me through the rest of the year again.
Yeah, so we've printed top line portfolio contribution, so I'll focus on that. For the year, full year portfolio contribution of 57 million. And of that, we saw just under 29 million from base metals. We
Nice.
saw just under 8 million from other critical minerals, including uranium, vanadium. And the legacy business, the steel making coal, came in at 17 and a half, so sort of the other, if you will call it, came in at 21. And when I say it was a landmark year for Ecora, I genuinely believe it. This business has historically seen the majority of its revenue from its legacy steelmaking coal royalty. And while we still expect some good contributions from that royalty this year, beyond that, sort of increasingly less contribution. And it's great to see as that royalty runs the course and runs its life, the layering, as you describe it, Andy, of the other assets starting to come up. And that's only the first layer, if you will, the contributions from assets already in production, right? Beyond that, there are other layers in this portfolio. I think 2026, in that sense, is, we're excited both in terms of just volume growth and greater contribution from our base metals assets. But secondly, from some de-risking events and some de-risking events over projects where we have royalties that are expected to generate income in the short to medium term. That really positions this business for really strong growth from now to the end of the decade and beyond.
Yeah. So can you talk about the second layer? I guess we'll just call it layers. The second layers that we expect to be hitting this year here. Comment about that as specific as you can.
Yeah. So when you think about this year versus last year, right? I guess the first thing is just production volumes. We expect volume growth at the Voisey's Bay mine. That asset delivered very strong growth last year. That's expected to continue this year towards steady state production. We're expecting volume growth at the Mimbula copper stream that we acquired last year. Beyond that, we expect de-risking events. So in terms of brownfield growth possibility at Mantos Blancos, the Mantos Blancos mine has been producing for many decades. And Capstone Copper is currently evaluating the possibility of increasing throughput of the sulfide circuit, but also retreating legacy tailings. So between those two, you could see a brownfield expansion that could add production volumes. And we're waiting, very excited for that study, expected to be released this year. And that type of brownfield project that Capstone is considering at Mantos Blancos is characterized by what most mining execs love, right? Which is low capital intensity for relatively lower risk expansion. So these are types of projects that when mining companies consider them, have relatively high meaning.
Yeah. So and about that too is it's interesting. It's like it's not only low risk, I say this in quotes, mining with brownfields, but you guys are also a low risk, just the royalty models low risk. So good. Talk about that, which is very interesting to me because of how risky and capital intensive, that was another word you used, that mining is, but that's not the case for Ecora.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of the royalty model in many ways in today's world is that it's just more expensive to build a mine, right? So if you got a study done 5 years ago, copper price has gone up, yes, but so have the costs of building that mine. So you'll probably see an uplift to your economics, assuming, of course, that the increase in operating costs and capital costs is not outweighed by the increase in price. With the royalty and streaming company, you don't have direct exposure to that sort of cost drag, if you will, and you just benefit from top line growth. So, for someone who's looking for top line commodity exposure for a variety of thematics, I think Ecora is really uniquely positioned towards critical minerals thematics by virtue of our strategy of focusing on critical minerals. It's a unique way to play it.
Yeah. And to all my viewers and listeners, Mark and I have met, it was, I want to say about 9 months ago, 7, 8, 9 months ago. We met in the summer of 25. And what really attracted me to Ecora, and it was right away, was just I didn't know, and they are out there, but I really didn't have any critical minerals, royalties, specifically critical mineral companies in my portfolio. And that was very enticing to me. And I don't know. Yeah, I still don't have any others besides Ecora. But comment a little bit about what's the plan and the vision against a little bit longer term. Where's the growth going to come in? Is it just going to be as these assets, these layers start hitting more this year? Yeah, and how are you looking to grow it even more from where you're at?
Yeah, there's two dimensions to that question. So, I mean, the first is just organic growth that already exists in this portfolio. And we've really spoken about like for the first layer and the second layer. There are a number of assets which are expected to come into production in by the end of this decade. And should mining companies deliver as they're targeting today, you'd expect to see Ecora's revenue from its critical minerals increase substantially to plot over $100 million a year. Assuming commodity prices well below spot. Ecora's portfolio and future growth is really centered in copper, and that's been deliberate. We've targeted copper as a commodity that we've sought to have at the core of our exposure. And by the end of the decade, copper is expected to be the largest contributor by commodity exposure. Mm-hmm. I think when we think about the critical minerals portfolio and themes, you know, what we're really trying to capture is number one, just traditional demand sources, right? You can talk about urbanization and you know, just electricity consumption as it stands today, just the status quo. And that picture alone is quite compelling for a lot of the critical minerals. And then on top of that, if you think about electrification, right, whether that be from grid investment, whether that just be from EVs, renewable energy, whether that just be any form of investment for upstream power production that's generally more metals intensive if you're substituting coal for other. Another big bucket, of course, is digitalization and automation. And by digitalization, I mean data center demand growth and associated energy demands, grid requirements. And by automation, I mean robotics, you know, whether it be drones, manufacturing automation, or you know, maybe not as long as some of us might think, humanoid robotics. And the last big bucket thematically is just security of supply. And that had a huge role last year when you think about commodity markets. And by security of supply, really what we're thinking about is the geopolitical desires and pressures to build access to these minerals for economic security. Over the course of last year, you saw stockpiling, we saw direct government investments to incentivize new supply and insulate producers from non-market forces. So when you combine all those four thematics, and I've cantered through them here very quickly, when you canter through them all, the outlook for critical minerals is quite compelling, but in particular, it stands out copper. Mm-hmm.
So how much, and so I know the answer to this, but if you can share how much, what percentage is copper in your portfolio as of right now?
As of today, it's approximately 50% by estimated net asset value. And mm-hmm. I think as we go forward a few more years, and as we see sort of prices catch up to where they are on the screen for where some of the forecasts are, and that's happening very quickly, you'd expect to see that copper exposure grow.
Yeah.
You know, we started this business almost 100% coal when I joined this company in 2014. We were almost 100% coal at the time. And so, you know, we've taken it today to approximately 50% copper, call it 80% critical minerals. And then 5 years from now, we should be almost 100% critical minerals. It's quite exciting to see the portfolio shape up, but even more exciting, I think, was when we really continue to demonstrate on the free cash flow potential that exists in Ecora. Because you've only really seen the beginning of it last year, right? We just saw the beginning of the ramp up with the contribution from the critical minerals assets. And in time, I'm personally very excited to see them really demonstrate what they can actually achieve, particularly if you're optimistic on a commodity like copper. And if you believe in $6 copper, $8 copper, Ecora offers incredible torque to that commodity all through the virtues of the royalty model that we discussed earlier.
Yeah, I was gonna use that. You have a lot of torque to the price of copper, but yet also a lot of safety because of the model. What's interesting, this what happened, I asked you, or you made a statement, this was three or four discussions ago, about how much cash flow you have per employee. Do you have an updated number, or can you just share that again with you? I mean, it's really impressive. I want you to say that again.
Yeah, so we can just update this on full year in 2025. So what I last would have quoted to you would have been based on 2024 numbers. So, you know, not a huge change, just 5 to 6 million per employee, right?
That just makes me laugh. That's crazy. Yeah.
It was very asset-light business and very scalable. I mean, most of our costs are denominated in British pounds. So When you look at our cost base, there's some volatility with the USD and British pound FX rate. When you strip that out, our costs have been pretty flat. And obviously, you've seen really, really, really substantial inflationary pressures elsewhere, both in the mining sector and more generally in global economies. So it does speak to the scalability of the royalty model. And with the team that we have today, we certainly have the capacity to, number one, execute on more transactions, but number two, continue to monitor the portfolio that we've assembled without necessarily requiring huge increases in our cost structure.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, Mark, I'm very happy. I say this as a shareholder. I'm a very happy shareholder. My biggest regret is that I don't have more. I've tried to myself use portfolio discipline, but sometimes you have to increase things that you just know you should have. And I wish that was the case in my point. Mark, if people want to know more information about you, if they want to do more due diligence, and to all my viewers and listeners, none of this is financial advice. Do your own due diligence. How do they find you? What exchanges are you traded on? And what are your ticker symbols?
Yeah, so we're listed on our primary listing is London Stock Exchange. The ticker is ECOR. For you US listeners, we also are can trade via the OTCQX platform, and the ticker there is ECRAF. That is a great platform if someone is seeking to settle in US trading hours, but also trade in US trading hours. We're also listed on the TSX. The ticker is ECOR. Website ecorroyalties.com. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to us, ir@ecorroyalties.com. If you'd like to have a call with me, if you have any specific questions, just let state that in your inbound, and we'll find a time to set that up. And I'm happy to chat through any questions any of your listeners may or may have.
Yeah, to all my viewers and listeners, Mark and his team are very responsive. And yeah, I am just, again, I can't emphasize enough, I'm a happy, very happy shareholder, not only from past results, and I've gotten benefited from the rise in the share price, but also just the vision and just the commodities, the royalties that are hitting, not only this year, but I see throughout the portfolio. So fantastic, Mark. Well done. Looking forward to seeing you in the next week. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Sounds good, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Take care.